Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan. Dan?
Buh.
Dan.
Buh.
Dan.
Buh. What's up?
Is there a hook to this?
I know a lot about Alex Jones.
I don't know anything about Alex Jones, and clearly you don't know a lot about bringing the heat.
I'm emotionally deflated because I opened the door today, and Jordan had brought over White Claw Hard Seltzer.
We did the hard seltzer before. I thought it is a wonderful mix of our novelty beverage slash alcoholic beverage desires.
I don't know, dude. This is a dangerous game for Chaboy to be engaged in.
Is it the most dangerous game?
No, that's hunting humans.
Oh, okay.
But it's dangerous, man. The seltzer game is a real, real dangerous thing for me.
Yeah, I know. You're a wine cooler fella from way back.
From way back.
From way back.
Yeah, yeah. You could catch me on the streets drinking tequiza. You could catch me out there with the Bartles and James. You know, I used to fuck with Zima.
Yeah, you do a little bit of that, Spumani, Martini and Rosti, whatever
sure.
That is. Yeah.
I always thought like, oh, what? This whole Smirnoff icing people, that whole phenomenon. I'm like, why is this a punishment? I love this delicious elixir. That last part's not true.
No.
But yeah, so anyway, here we are. We're doing another episode.
Wow. Wow. Coming out the gate. Coming out the gate with energy, Dan.
You know what? I'm in a position where I'm still a little bit rough from our long recording last night.
Right.
And long editing session afterwards. And so like, I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna get there.
Yeah.
But for now, like immediately.
You're gonna raise your game as we go along.
Yeah. Immediately I've got like a little bit of, I got some rust in the gears.
Right. When the performance adrenaline starts to kick in, you'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's where I like, today, my brain was fucking murdering me. Like, I am dying on the inside. But during the show, man, I got it.
Yeah.
I'm a performer, my friend. I'm a professional, Dan.
All right, let's test your professionalism.
Please don't.
So today we're going to be talking a little bit about the April 2nd, 2018 episode of Alex's show, and then we'll have some fun afterwards.
Okay,
but
I don't like the way you put that.
Well, the April 1st show, everyone was suspecting, like, there was some talk on the Facebook group about, like, what's his April Fool's joke gonna be? And it turns out he made a best of episode and played it on, the 1st.
Right.
So we don't have to talk about that, but.
That's hilarious.
But, his Monday episode here on April 2nd ends up being, like, really interesting on a couple levels and then really boring, for the rest of it. And I'm gonna start off testing your professionalism with an out of context drop from that episode.
What is he, a fag? Because he knows how to read?
Ooh, boy.
Dan!
Your professionalism out the window.
Okay, all right. Was he being sarcastic or like trying to do that as a
yeah,
provocateurish
yeah. Yeah,
kind
yeah.
of thing?
No. It's like what he perceived people treating him when he was younger because he was a jock and he wasn't supposed to read things. So
great.
He was sort of saying it in the voice of the people who picked on him.
Yeah.
But still.
Which is really just his own voice, you know,
more
yelling into his brain.
Yeah.
That I understand and recognize.
So on this episode, Alex does a lot of talking about, how cell phones are going to kill you.
Yeah.
So he has a lot of that.
He's doing a lot of talking about everything but all of the shit that's coming down on him as hard as possible.
More or less. And then he gets into this. He starts talking about the Parkland survivors and David Hogg in particular.
Of course.
And
because anytime you can yell at a kid, you just gotta do it.
Well, in the past, Alex has had like a really awful but sort of defensible position in like, hey, everyone's saying that I said he was a crisis actor. I didn't. I just implied it very heavily.
And agreed with people who did say it.
Right. And so this is where things take a little bit of a turn.
If somebody says David Hogg is a crisis actor and you're like, yeah, totally. That is saying that David Hogg is a crisis actor.
Or I would say like, if I were to say to you, what does a crisis actor mean? And then you define the term, and then me take that definition and apply it to someone without ever using the word.
Right.
I kind of think that you're saying that that's
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. But this is where on this April 2nd show, things take a little bit of a turn And Alex's narrative pivots a bit about David Hogg. And this is truly disgraceful.
Okay.
But the video, and I found a bunch of these this weekend, and I saw these last week. We had an article about it. Headline, David Hogg caught lying about what happened at the shooting. And I went and watched them this weekend. Not just the little clips, but the longer interviews they were part of. And so it's, no, it's not out of context.
It's not out of context.
Where he says, I was at home when the shooting happened, so I got on my bike and rode to the school to get as many interviews as I could. We'll play it in a moment.
He does.
That's a first.
And then he's in all these other interviews saying, I was at the school in the class when the shooting started, and I was with the teacher, so we heard the shots, we closed the door. And then other things where he talked about where he was when the shooting started. So he got in a closet and they conduct interviews in a closet.
Mm.
And I'm like, there's no way you're 3 miles away and then you're there and there's the shooting. So you're in class when the shooting starts, you close the door.
So this is a real big problem.
I don't know what's going on.
Okay. So, there's a video that's been making the rounds on the alt-right world, and the Alex Jonesian world, and particularly on redstate.com. They're breaking this
trustworthy
this news about an interview with David Hogg from CBS.
Uh-huh.
CBS piece that they put together where he says that he got on his bike from his house and went to the school to shoot interviews.
Okay.
Now,
that's not possible for in any direction. There's no way that if the school shooting were happening and he heard about it, then it couldn't be happening during the shooting itself. There was no
Alex.
I got to figure that you got to tell me more about this.
Okay,
this is infuriating.
It's very simple. He was talking about the evening. He was talking about later.
Gotcha. All right. All right. Perfect.
Alex is pretending that he's talking about, like, I was at home and then I went to the school. He's talking about after he had already gone home after the shooting. He left his house at 6 p.m. It's very clear. The timeline is incredibly consistent throughout all of the interviews that he's given. There's an interview here. At 6 p.m. after the shooting, I took my camera, got on my bike. I rode in basic twilight. And I ride my bike 3 miles down winding sidewalks and find my way to the school, as I've done in previous years. All the way, I was making sure my camera bag didn't rip open, because if you zip it a certain way, the camera falls out and it would be destroyed. I start shooting B-roll, and I see Fox News over there. I knew I wanted to talk on the news and make sure there was advocacy, especially with so many people from the NRA and different gun-toting Americans who watch Fox News. I went on the day of the shooting and said, quote, "There cannot be another mass shooting." And I think that's partially why, but I also, but also other people started saying that, at the same time. I'm looking at the school right now. You can see bullet holes in the windows. It's insane. And the fact that there's more bullet holes in those windows than bills, that have been proposed, and passed to save these kids' lives is disgusting. So.
It's a good line.
Right. He was at the school when the shooting happened. And Alex is taking the CBS thing completely out of context, where he's not saying that during the day he got on his bike, it was that evening.
Right.
Now, this is a really big problem, because now if Alex is pushing this narrative, he has to think that he is a completely fake and planted and realized, oh shit, I'm supposed to be at work faking being a victim of a crime today.
Right,
why he got on his bike and went to school. And this is a real, real serious problem. And if Alex continues down this road, he will be very, very deeply into the crisis actor bundle or whatever. Interestingly.
To what extent does that even fucking matter?
It doesn't. But
even if this were the case, it's unfortunate. Even if Alex's narrative and these fucking alt-right assholes is 100% correct, then the school shooting still fucking happened.
Well, some people say it didn't.
Well, see, that's the larger context there is, it's unfortunate if he is saying that he was there whenever he wasn't, but people were there. Who gives a shit? He's right.
Mm, interesting. I don't know how I would address that, but I would say that, redstate.com, they retracted their story and said, quote, "I am sorry for the error and have updated the post accordingly. It appears that the problem was that CBS included a very confusing quote without context. Not really. You guys just don't care to find the context.
Right.
You just want to act. And so anyway, that's super fun. And here's where Alex goes with it.
I mean, we had an article. I mentioned it. But I'd already been banned off YouTube or had videos blocked.
Not really.
Misrepresenting what I'd said when I just pointed out there was a stand down. The students told us that, who we had on, plus local news. So they misrepresented what I said and then took the videos down. And now I realize why they were so scared. They didn't want anybody actually looking at what went on.
Mm.
So here's the deal.
They didn't want you looking at it.
David Hogg.
I don't care.
He's a public figure now. And he's called me cuss word names and a con artist and a fraud. He's in a man's world. I haven't done all that.
Yes, you have.
Many times.
And then it came out over the weekend, and we guys reprint me that article, thanks. Paul Joseph Watson found his Reddit, and it is David Hogg's Reddit.
It's not.
It might be.
Could be.
And he's there talking about how it's good that mosquitoes are killing millions of people because we need billions to die for depopulation. And see, that's just the perfect globalist leftist religion. That's Bill and Melinda Gates. That's the UN. That's this whole program.
So he takes these two pieces of information that are both either completely misrepresented or not true. Like the CBS thing with he drove his bike to the school. There's inconsistencies in his story is just not true.
Right.
The Reddit thing that might be his account. I don't know. It's a joke. And, that's being willfully misrepresented.
Yeah.
He combines the two of them to be like, of course he wants depopulation. I imagine that these globalists that I'm against, they also want depopulation. He's the perfect person for them to have groomed beforehand. And it's not good.
It's awful.
Very bad.
That's awful. That's crisis actory.
It is.
That's exactly what he's doing. I'm the only person legitimately calling for white genocide.
Yep. He should attack you.
Yeah, exactly.
So also on this episode, he gets mad because the Pope, there's an article about him that said that there wasn't hell. That hell doesn't exist, which you could take from the scriptures.
If you were going to go with a biblical reading of the scripture, then yes, he is correct.
So the Pope allegedly gave a interview to a guy named Eugenio Scalfari, and he said a quote, "They are not punished. Those who repent obtain God's forgiveness and take their place among the ranks of those who contemplate him. But those who do not repent and cannot be forgiven disappear. A hell doesn't exist. The disappearance of sinning souls exists." So that's the quote that Alex gets fucking hot and bothered about. But
I don't think anybody hates the Bible more than Christians.
But hold on, man. The Vatican denies that this interview even took place. There's no recording of it. The guy is notorious for not taking notes. He's a 93-year-old journalist.
Wait, what?
He's a 93-year-old dude, and according to The Guardian, Eugenio Scalfari is, quote, said to pride himself on not taking notes or recording high-profile interviews.
Right, right. That's a weird thing to take pride in.
Yeah. So the Vatican says
he prides himself on, no one knowing if anything he says is true.
Right. It's like Michael Wolff or whatever. The Vatican said that the comments were, quote, the fruit of Scalfari's reconstruction and not a faithful transcription of the Holy Father's words.
So that kind of suggests that he did do the interview, though, right?
Yeah, probably, but they wouldn't want to confirm that or deny it.
But what they just said was he did do the interview and he's creating that whole cloth.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Vatican did confirm that.
The Vatican plays games, bro.
All right. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
But the point is that the Vatican is denying that he said these things and that it's not, accurate to their beliefs or Pope Francis's beliefs. That does not stop Alex from screaming about how he's the devil for an hour
of
the show.
Of course.
Which leads him into talking about how the elites.
Oh no.
They love to do DMT. And speak to little beings that they find on the other side.
Now that makes sense.
Yeah.
Finally, somebody bringing some rationality to this story.
They do DMT.
They talk to little beings?
They take DMT and ayahuasca, and in their hallucinations, they get programming and instructions from the other world entities that are running globalism.
So wait, now that... Whoa.
Yeah.
This is a new wrinkle for me.
Somewhat.
So the globalists aren't even the bad guys.
No.
It's the little beings that they contact on the other side?
Yeah, they're the ones who are coming up with the sort of game plan of the globalists.
Well, then why hasn't Alex been railing against these guys from the beginning?
I don't know, man.
Did he just discover them?
Well, the issue is, like, you're stupid because not you.
Yeah. No. That is true.
Alex, pretends he's super good friends with Joe Rogan, and he is literally the biggest DMT proponent in pop culture.
It's good stuff.
He hosted a documentary about it called The Spirit Molecule. You know, he's like, he's a big advocate of hallucinogens. And,
you know who ran the B-roll on that documentary?
Who's that?
Tiny little beings from the other world.
Probably.
Yep.
So anyway, Alex says this, and it's really funny about DMT stuff.
People think of an alien invasion as in the third dimension from space. There's dimensions below and above us. The mathematics show it. And
what?
Whether it's real or not, you have these spirit guides, like Mescalito and all this, little goat man. You know, you're taking DMT and a little goat man shows up. He's not your buddy, okay? And
well, that's just
he's got a plan, though. You're going to be a god as long as you kill everybody.
Okay, Alex. Okay.
So,
I do like...
Wait. The sentence, whether it's real or not, you do have spirit guides.
Right.
I don't know what that even means.
Well, it's that the mathematics proves it. Whether you believe it or not, whether it's real or not, like, I don't know what you're saying.
I do
love the sentence, if a little goat man comes up to you, he is not your friend.
I do like that.
Okay. Okay, Alex. Cool.
I mean, he's a pan? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, it's like a satyr.
He's a satyr. Yeah, yeah.
Mr.
What's,
Tumnus
what's
type.
Your favorite lower dimension?
I like, I don't know, man.
All right.
What?
You gotta work on your two-man game.
I can't think, Kenny Rogers in the first edition? Wait, that's not a dimension.
That's not really a dimension.
I thought it was gonna, as I started saying the name of the band, I thought it was gonna end in dimension, but it's addition. Look, man, I'm rough.
All right.
I'm rough.
All right.
Today,
all right.
Okay?
Right.
Anyway.
Give me a higher dimension.
Give me a higher.
There you go.
Yep.
Now we're in it.
So that's it for the second. It's a pretty boring show otherwise, except for the, warnings about Goatman, Alex lying about the Pope, and Alex launching off on what will become a potentially, slanderous narrative about David Hogg.
Yeah.
Because if he goes too far down that road, it will turn into, like, you're committing libel.
Right.
We'll see.
He's already being sued for that as well, right?
Yeah, I think he's being sued by another guy, too, now.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Man. Give us a call, dude.
No.
The guy who's suing him, I think I read something about him. He was one of the guys, from something or whatever.
I saw an article about the guy who Alex mischaracterized as the shooter.
Yes.
In a Kit Daniels article that was on InfoWars,
mm-hmm.
Is suing Alex. But
yeah.
I don't think that that's going to work. I think it's absolutely a...
It will if you take the stand, Dan.
No, because I wouldn't testify against him. Because that's not a crime.
We got to subpoena you.
He just did bad reporting. The press is protected, assuming they're using good faith. You know,
which he's like, not,
but
ever.
But you can't prove that.
We can.
That wouldn't fly in court. The ability to be like, to say, oh, he intentionally, did bad work.
Hmm.
Or whatever. It's the same thing. It's the reason why, like, slander laws are very difficult. It's very difficult to prove intent in terms of slander because you want to err on the side of, oh, someone made an honest mistake and we don't want to punish them for it. Alex uses and abuses that leeway over and over again, and this will be another case of that. This case
right.
will be thrown out.
I don't know. I think if you can establish a pattern of behavior, then you can, I think you can generally prove intent in this circumstance.
Maybe. It would be difficult.
Now, the problem I think there is that you can't improve intent, you can't prove intent against this guy. Like, you can prove his intent to deceive.
Yeah.
You can prove his intent to, distract. I don't think you can prove that he even gives a shit about this dude.
It would be tough to prove malice directed at
exactly.
a guy he's never met.
Yeah.
Who knows? Anyway, Jordan, now to the fun.
Okay, good.
We have been promising for a bit now that right around the corner we're going to get to the matchups in the drop bracket.
Any moment now.
And I realized, I think I was telling you about this, one of the jokes and the reasons, like one of the parts of the bit of my old brackets that I did was I intentionally didn't do them in March. because I thought it was really stupid how so many fucking blogs will do
always
their
have
own.
A March Madness
right.
kind of
and
thing.
And I was lashing out by doing them in like August.
Right.
Or whatever. Because bracketing is fun and it doesn't have to be in March.
No. You can do it any old time.
So when we started in March, I was like, I gotta push this off into April. So now we're in April.
Sure. Say that.
Right. That's my excuse. So now we're in April, and so far the matchups that we have seen have been from the guest division. We have Steve Pachanik giving Alex Jones a manners lesson.
Soundly defeating Hamamoto.
Yep, so that moves on to the next round.
Yes.
And then also we had where Alex, it's time to pray, versus Alex saying he has to leave a rally to go pray.
Yeah. It's time to pray won that one, right?
Yeah, but it was a lot closer than we expected.
It was a lot closer.
There's a lot of love for the guy in the back of that rally screaming,
"Oh yeah, that is a great one."
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So people showed up for that. But yes, it's time to pray has made it onto the next round. And I should say that we are doing this and, we will, only be going over the first round today, but I am ready.
The entire first round?
Yes.
All four brackets?
Yep.
All right, here we go.
And I am ready to reveal all of the entrants.
Okay.
Now, I will say ahead of time, in the course of this podcast that we've done in the last year and a half or so, we've listened to a lot of clips.
Yeah.
And some things just...
Some from the lower dimension and some from the higher.
Absolutely. We've talked to goat people.
Yeah.
who are not
you
our
know
friends.
What? They actually were. They were very kind.
They were very polite.
They were wonderful people.
Very polite.
They had some bad ideas, admittedly, but that True. Doesn't mean that you're not a friendly character.
Right. I think if I did DMT and I met a goat guy and he was like, "You gotta kill people," I'd be like, "I'm going to the hospital." I am like, there's something wrong with my subconscious. Clearly, I'm not going to listen to a hallucination that's telling me to kill people. That's kind of hacky, you know?
How big do you think is a little goat person?
I would have to assume the standard goat person size would be somewhere near 6 foot. So a little goat person would be four
and
a half.
I don't know, Mr. Tumnus was probably what, like 5'6"?
How dare you, he was 6 foot.
He was not 6 foot.
It's tough to judge because Lucy and Edward were children.
Tiny, yeah. Right? And he wasn't that much taller.
Well, that's true, but I think he had a hunch because he was a fucking goat guy.
Well, it's not like he can stand straight up. Well, I think you have to count that in.
I don't think you have reversible knees.
I don't think reversible knees is that's sure. the medical term for it.
Flamingo knee.
Yeah.
So the doctors call it.
Right.
Yeah, let's say five.
Let's say five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Little goat guy, four.
I would say little goat guy to me, 2 feet. Almost pocket-sized.
That's tiny goat guy.
Yeah, I'm thinking like a little goat guy on your shoulder who tells you to kill people.
I think
you know?
Alex would have specified on that if that was the case.
Right.
So, let's get back on fucking track here, bro.
I'm sorry.
You're the one who wanted to do a short episode.
I can't stop thinking about a 2-foot-tall goat guy and how I think he would be cute, and I would like to keep him in a little bag like a Paris Hilton dog.
Especially if it spoke English.
You know, absolutely.
That would be a large qualification I'd have for my goat friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
So... Jordan?
Constantly going to parties like, you guys want to talk to my little girlfriend?
Number one seed.
Yes.
Pachanik Manners Lesson has moved on to the next round, but now it is time for us to close out, the guest division and, reveal what the other entries were.
All right.
Number three seed going up against number two seed. The number three seed in the guest division is Roger Stone interviewing Rick Derringer's wife.
Jenda, welcome to InfoWars.
Thank you very much.
We are so happy to have you here in the studio. So tell us your take on the real American. You've got to be very, very proud.
Well, it sounded too 80s to me, so I told Rick. And from then on, he said it's too 80s. And then I came up with the idea of having Space Odyssey.
Yep.
So.
Yep, there we go.
Some might think this is a controversial choice to be in the number three seed, but let me explain why the selection committee put it in there.
I would give that a two.
Here's why it's three.
Okay.
You'll see
the two after this.
The number two is very deserving of the number two spot.
All right.
Even, it's possible it should be in the number one spot.
Oh, really?
If Steve Pachanik hadn't have been so strong.
Yeah.
In the preseason or whatever. The number three seed, Roger Stone interviewing, Rick Derringer's wife is deserving of the number three seed for two reasons. One, it's absurd.
Yes.
Second, because
she claims to come up with the most important part of that song.
Well, and it's like, it's two 80s, let's add an 80s
yeah.
part.
Yeah, yeah,
but the reason is because that episode that where Roger interviews Rick Derringer and his wife is the episode where Jerome Corsi was supposed to reveal all of the stuff that he had learned that would have gotten him killed.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so on the day he's supposed to make that reveal, Alex doesn't show up for work. Nope. Roger Stone shows up half an hour late and then interviews Rick Derringer's wife. So just for context,
that's a solid one.
That is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's going up against an incredibly strong competitor. It's someone we know. It's someone we've spoken to. It is Larry Nichols.
Oh, it's Larry Nix?
Y'all may not know it, but back when Hillary was first lady, she would go on the weekends to California with Lyndon Budworth Thomason and some of the other ladies that designed in women. And they went to a church for witches. Witches. Witches.
Witches.
Now, do you want your president? Remember that lady that was trying to run for the Senate, and sometimes she'd gone to some place where they did witch stuff? Hillary went to a church and worshipped
witches.
Witches.
Also, honorary mention.
It's the three witches that gets me.
Linda Bloodworth Thomas.
Witches.
Hillary Clinton. Delta Burke.
Witches.
The three witches of designing yes. women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Honorable mention also to Larry Nichols.
That's actually what the movie Hocus Pocus was based off of.
And the song Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Exactly.
Honorable mention to Larry yes. Nichols. I wish there was room for all of his stupid comments, but when he's like, President Obama is about as ready to leave office as I am ready to be a duck. And I ain't a duck.
I would almost throw in our interview where he says, now listen, there's hard rice and there's soft rice.
I felt like our own stuff and Project Camelot stuff didn't.
Yeah, you can't toss that in there.
Count.
No.
So we got Larry Nichols going up against Roger Stone featuring Rick Derringer's wife, rounding out the four seeds of the guest division. Very exciting stuff.
Gonna tell you something? The natural lime, good stuff.
Good stuff?
Good stuff.
I'll get there in a moment.
I'm all about it.
So, the praying clips that Alex has done.
Yes.
Those come from the religious division.
Right.
So there's four seeds in the religious division. And, It's Time to Pray has already moved on the one seed. Here are the other entries from that. Now, you know, we have Alex in two clips saying, it's time to pray. I gotta leave this fucking place to pray. And so it might surprise you that, the number three seed.
You got your eyes a little crossed.
Got my seeds wrong. So the number three seed, Alex Jones reveals that he, in fact, does not pray every day.
I pray many times a week. I wouldn't say every day, but four or five times a week. And it seems to help me.
Great. strong review of prayer. It seems to help me. Now, the selection committee believed that deserved...
Is that an Amazon review?
Yeah.
I think three four stars.
Yeah.
4 out of 5 stars.
Right, right.
4 or 5 stars a week.
That deserved a place, according to the selection committee, because of how contradictory it is to all the other prayer clips. But that will be going up against the number two seed.
Also, does he think he's still bragging about doing it 4 or 5 times a week?
I think he is.
I think he is still like, hey, listen. I don't do it every day. I still do it 4 or 5 times, which is better than you, you asshole.
You know how easy it is to pray? I just did it.
No. No.
Yeah.
So, I can't anymore. My little goat friend says
that. Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. It's rough.
How big is that goat friend?
It's about 2 feet.
Okay. It's a tiny little goat boy. Like a little Jim Brewer.
Like a little Jim Brewer.
So that will be going
now, a little Jim Brewer, definitely not your friend.
No. No, no, no. And has bad plans for you. So that will be going up against this, the number two seed.
I can't help it. I had a headache. I was upset until I called the Pope a devil worshiper, and now I feel better.
No, that one's number one seed. I'm picking that one to go to the semis.
Hey, that's not better than It's Time to Pray.
Oh, that's so good though.
Woo!
I didn't. Oh, that's true. That's true.
This is so crazy. Red alert.
I don't know.
Red alert.
Come on. I didn't feel better until I called the Pope a devil worshiper. Is a great line.
I had a headache, and then I called the Pope a devil worshiper, and oh boy.
So, but that suggests that calling the Pope a devil worshiper can heal you, much like Jesus.
Yeah, it's therapeutic.
Yeah,
in some way. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what people think. I think that that's a pretty even. No, who are we kidding? That's going to beat.
Oh, absolutely.
That's going to beat the number three seed.
Oh, for sure.
So,
I'm telling you, I'm picking that one to go far.
All right, we'll see. We'll see how the people vote. So in the next division that we've got two more divisions. Because this is a 16 seed bracket.
Right.
And so now we've met all of the guest clips and all of the religious clips, and that brings us to the next division. Alex swearing.
Okay.
So, in this first matchup from the Alex swearing division.
The one versus the four.
This is the four seed where he talks about piss.
You're a big old bucket of rotten milk. Somebody pissed in, excuse me.
You'll notice.
Excuse me. We're going to get four straight excuse me's, aren't we?
You will notice.
We're going to get a lot of excuse me's.
I think all of these do end in him saying excuse me. So that this should be literally no surprise to anybody. It's going up against number one seed. Fill your hand, Adam Schiff.
Hell yeah.
I'm not against gay people. Okay. I love them. They're great folks. But Schiff looks like the archetypal cocksucker with those little deer in the headlight eyes and all his stuff. And there's something about this fairy hopping around, bossing everybody around, trying to intimidate people like me and you. I want to tell Congressman Schiff and all the rest of them, hey, listen, asshole, quit saying Roger and I. And I never used cussing in 22 years, but the gloves are off. Listen, you son of a bitch. What
bitch.
The fuck's your problem? You want to sit here and say that I'm a goddamn fucking Russian? You get in my face with that, I'll beat your goddamn ass, you son of a bitch.
Bitch.
You piece of shit.
Shit.
You fucking goddamn fucker. Listen, fuckhead, you have fucking crossed the line. Get that through your goddamn fucking head. Stop pushing your shit. You're the people that have fucked this country over and gang-raped the shit out of it and lost an election. So stop shooting your mouth off claiming I'm the enemy. You got that, you goddamn son of a bitch? Fill your hand. I'm sorry, but
fill
I'm done.
Hand.
You start calling me a foreign agent. Those are fucking fighting words. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Love it.
Gotta end with the excuse me.
I mean, that from the first moment we heard it, it's like that is poetry.
is it?
Yeah, to me.
You goddamn fucker.
You son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch.
You piece of shit calling me a Russian. Fill your hand.
You goddamn fuckhead.
I mean, it taught
you
us.
That's not what you fucking say to me.
It brought fill your hand into our lives.
Fill your hand has changed our lives.
There's so much, going on there. And I mean, it's over a minute of him screaming obscenity at Adam Schiff.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Poorly.
Very poorly.
Really, he's really bad at swearing.
It's tough, man. It's tough for anything to, be a number one seed when that is in the consideration, when that's in the game, in the swearing section. Like, I don't know what you're going to do. The number two seed, I think, might have a chance.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I think that one, I don't think that one is going to go that far.
Well, we'll see.
I don't think that one's going to go that far.
I do not think it's going to get beat by your bucket of rotten piss.
No, absolutely not.
Whatever. So that's, the first matchup. That's the number one versus the number four seed. And that brings us to the number two versus number three seed. Here's the number three seed. Who's banned?
Conservatives are banned, bitches!
That's not the best, but it's fun because of the bitches.
Yeah.
You know, like, because it doesn't feel like Alex. You're like, conservatives are banned, bitch! Like, that's not how I think of him.
It's almost the opposite of the way that you would say that. Like, that seems to me like something I would say when conservatives, I'd be like, conservatives are banned, bitches! Like, that kind of a thing.
Right. I don't know. That's going up against number two seed in the swearing division.
Yes.
And I think that this has a chance to unseat fill your hand.
Okay.
Adam Schiff. But that is because this is profound. And this is, of course, from a very drunk special report that Alex did.
Screw America. Globalism. No American flag. America first is bad. Oh, by the way, we're trying to save America. Okay. God, this guy wants to hurt America. I mean, what a load of shit. I mean, I've never heard such shit in my fucking life. Okay. This cocksucker. It's wound up with this shit to go in there and spew this fucking filth in us. Where all we're trying to do is have a fucking life, you piece of shit. Fuck you. Goddamn piece of shit. God, I've never seen your fucking eyes. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
See, now, the reason that I think that that has the potential to eclipse the fill your hand clip is because, like, there is so much more real anger there, I think. Now, I think he was.
Well, and he was doing his Dianne Feinstein impression, right? That's what he was doing there?
Yes, absolutely.
We got an impression, and that's big.
No, I think it was Cuomo.
Was it Cuomo?
Cuomo from CNN.
I'm halfway thinking it was Bernie again.
Hey, Woody, I got my ghoul, hey.
I was like, did his Bernie turn into an Italian mafia don? What's going on here?
I'm not sure what to tell you, but I will say, I think, especially, from the time that we've been doing it, we don't have any other clips of Alex just directly saying, fuck you.
Yeah.
And that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Cause that's direct and, you know, whereas, man, I mean, that's some championship swearing right there.
And at the same time, it's amazing how bad he is at it. Like, fucking piece of shit. Fuck you. Like the drunk guy at a bar that makes you feel, I swear so much. But if I was at a bar with a guy swearing like that, I'd be like, ugh, come on, man, grow up.
Yeah.
Like, that's the immediate reaction I have to that is like, what are you doing? Are you a child? Are you a child?
I mean, that's what we're ending up coming to the conclusion. True. I mean, once we finish this podcast and we decide to move on to something else, the conclusion we're going to end up to is Alex is in a tragic state of delayed adolescence.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's going on.
Permanent adolescence.
His behavior is that of a child. It's a petulant little child. That's why he doesn't understand
anything.
He's
Lenny.
That's why he doesn't understand anything he reads. Yeah, we gotta fucking tell him about the rabbits.
Oh,
you know,
man.
What I'm saying?
Oh, that'd be brutal.
Thankfully he can't read that book, so he doesn't get the reference. Otherwise he'd be really mad at us. So, Jordan, that brings us to our last division.
Uh-huh.
Four seeds in this last division. It was incredibly difficult to figure out, how this should be laid out. And so I decided,
Are you going to do a potpourri?
It is. It is a miscellaneous section because, there were some other thoughts I had, but like legitimately the idea of the amount of work it would take to do a 32 seed bracket, it's just beyond what I have bandwidth for at this point. So here we are. We have these four seeds in the miscellaneous section and we will start with the number four versus the number one seed. Here is the number four seed in the miscellaneous section.
I got me a rock and roll band. It's free for all. I got me a radio show, TV show with 20 million listeners and viewers a week. It's a free for all.
Yeah. Got me a rock and roll band.
I see. Now that I don't know how to seed the miscellaneous. I'm interested to see how you seeded it because that to me is gold, my friend.
It's gold.
I got me a rock and roll band.
It's gold as a drop. I tried to weigh the like drop versus like weird clip. It's difficult. And that is, sort of standing in place with a lot of the other times he sang.
Right.
I think that's the best example of him singing something.
Right.
Because it's immediately unclear that he's trying to sing a Ted Nugent song.
Right.
But then the.
Is that how Ted Nugent sounds?
No.
I don't think it is.
No, it is not. He sounds a lot worse.
Oh, did you, let me ask you a question, Dan. Did you bring back our Ludacris?
No, I should have.
I feel like that one's in there.
Nah,
we got a whole YouTube video out of that.
I know, but it's too...
One of our amazing listeners, spliced it in.
It's too regular. He says it all the time. I did think about that, but he doesn't do that. He doesn't sing free for all the time.
No, that's true.
He does yell, "What about them TVs, bitch? Tell me that." That could have gone in the cursing section.
Yeah, but the rhythm of it was perfect.
Yeah.
You think that's not how I feel? You think I don't have that belief?
If I had this all to do over, I probably would have an entire section of singing.
Yeah.
But,
oh, yeah, that would be.
But.
That would be a delight.
Yeah. Also, well pointed out in the chat room, the strong embellishment of his listener numbers. 20 million a week! It's a free for all!
It's a free for all!
Shut up. So anyway, this next, the number one seed is actually two clips.
I would also have said, if you had more time, I would have gone with an impression bracket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it would all be for Bernie. I feel like that's actually grandfathered in, in the same way that a lot of the stuff in the, like, go home and tell your mother you're brilliant type clips. I feel like that's been elevated past.
Yeah.
And I want to address some backlash that is going to obviously come. I took stuff out of context for Jar Jar Binks thing in the Policy Wonk drop. What he's actually saying isn't that funny. Like, it's just commenting on the character of Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, it's just funny as an out-of-context drop.
Exactly.
But
who
is going to be giving you backlash?
I just imagine backlash.
Where are these backlashers coming from?
I know that there's fans of the Jar Jar Binks drop.
It's a fantastic drop.
And then also what makes it fun is the way I cut it together to make it sound like he's saying that Jar Jar Binks is a loser little titty baby. But that comes from a time he was yelling about Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
So the two of them together, spliced together, are funny, but the actual things they come from aren't that good.
I don't think anybody who takes that, our technocrat drop as a, well, see, they take him out of context, is insane.
Well, I'm just saying the bracketeering is serious business. People,
bracketeering is serious business.
People are very, you know, they have their favorites, and I understand and I respect that, but there's reasons. So here's the number one seed, and it's two clips that are very similar, and I couldn't decide which was representative.
So you're tossing them both in there.
Yeah. So these are
wishy-washy, Dan.
Well, you'll see why.
Okay.
And liberal. And liberal. I'm liberal. I rule.
The bat at the end really
seals
the deal.
Act liberal. Act liberal. Act liberal. I'm liberal. Bat. I rule. Bat.
So there's that. And then here is the second part of the, because he's doing the liberal stuff there, but there's a different flavor of it too. And I think the number one seed is all of it.
Yeah, I want to be with you. Liberal, liberal. Seriously. Oh, come on. Liberal. Liberal. Good.
So that's the flip side of the liberal coin where he's like, liberal. Like Smeagol or some shit.
Right.
But then also that it's important.
We are also going to add a, Alex Jones makes throat noises bracket.
Sure. It's also. It's important to remember too that like that click you heard at the beginning there is him opening a switchblade. So that should weigh into
that's
your vote.
That's a solid number one seed.
So you got number one seed, Act Liberal versus number four seed. It's a free for all.
It's a free for all.
So now we go to number two and three seed. And this was difficult, a little difficult because the parameters of the miscellaneous division it's wide open. It can be anything.
Right.
It's not just religious things or swearing or guest appearances.
You are setting this up hard.
But I'm trying to get myself out of it in
I
case
know.
It's bad. here's number three, Alex Jones talking, making a startling confession about his sexuality.
I'm going to be honest. I'm actually gay, and I'm dating a man named Rachel Maddow.
This is never going to end, this joke.
Oh, my gosh. They're going to take that out of context and loop it.
So that clip belongs in there partially because of the end.
I'm going to actually go with the that clip is never going to end fake laugh this joke is never going to end fake laugh, because that's almost a cry for help there. She's like,
she is, yeah.
For real, this joke is never going to end. Alex, please.
Well, yeah, and that's another instance of, I don't remember that girl's name. It's Julia something, Urbanski or something like that.
Yeah.
She's that anarcho-capitalist.
Yeah.
That was on,
I believe he was also hitting on her as well.
Yeah. It's tough to look at things without that prism. It's very flirty. I think he actually lets her host, for a good couple segments on that show as well, much like he did with Katie Hopkins.
Yes.
So that's the number three seed. And here we go, to the number two seed. And this probably is in the number two seed because it's just gross.
Okay.
And I think it's something that doesn't, I think if we talked about this, I'm not sure if we did, but if we did, it doesn't get enough attention.
Porn. Take porn.
Please.
I can't even watch it anymore. And I'm not going to sit up here with our audience and be fake and say I've never seen porn. I literally, you know what I like?
Oh, that's right.
I like typing in pinup girls from the 50s, and I'll just sit there for like an hour on my computer looking at women as pinup girls. Or like or like a waitress in a, in a cute skirt and cute outfit, like a woman, cute and happy. That's.
So that's the number two scene.
Cool.
Because I felt like there needed to be a representation of Alex being gross.
Being real gross. That is so gross.
I like to sit for an hour and look at pinup girls.
That's like. Like multiple or just the one?
Probably multiple. I assume he likes selection.
You think he has a calendar? He has to have he has to have one of those calendars.
He sold a calendar that had like pinup shots of Leanne McAdoo on it back in the day.
That's weird.
Yeah, there's like you can find swimsuit pictures of her on the internet because of that.
Yeah.
Which kind of takes away from some of her
journalistic credibility.
I don't know. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. You know, I don't know. I'm not judging her for it.
That's also a really good. I don't know. Yeah. That's a tough question to ask, especially about somebody who has no journalistic credibility via their own journalism.
I think that's the bigger issue is that she started at zero and it's not really affecting
either
way. Yeah,
no, that's a good point.
Yeah. So those are the seeds, folks. The voting will be up on our Facebook page. Go home and tell your mother you're brilliant. And, that will be up on Wednesday when this episode drops.
What do you think? What would you pick as your winner?
I tell you what, it's tough. I don't know how things are going to break, but I mean, because he.
No, I mean, your personal, like, I'm not asking you to predict. I'm asking you, Dan, if you were going to vote for the ultimate winner.
Yeah.
What are you choosing? What's your kind of, flavor of Alex Jones clip?
I don't know if I want to bias people with it, but I think it's, to me, I can tell you what I think is should win out of each division, let's say.
All right.
I think I'm going to predict.
Don't say should, what you want or believe should win.
My prediction for the final four is the, Alex screaming, fuck you,
the number two seed.
I think it's going to pull an upset, possibly.
Okay. All right.
Act liberal, I think is.
Gotta give me act liberal.
In the religious division, probably the Pope is a devil worshiper.
I love the Pope is a devil worshiper.
It's a really strong.
It's short. It's compact, and it gets to the point. It's a great bit.
If something can beat It's Time to Pray, I think that is the one that's possible. And then from the guest division, I mean, I'm biased because we talked to him, but I got to go with Larry Nichols.
You got to go with CB Larry Nichols.
I just think that he's so crazy.
You think he's dead yet?
No, he's alive.
Yeah. Well, that's right because he's not actually sick.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I think he is sick. It's just like, it's not.
In the brain.
It's not cancer.
Yeah.
That's my understanding. I think someone was saying that he has like emphysema or something like that.
Oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. Yeah. But, I don't know. I don't know the reality of it and I don't really particularly care.
Nope.
But I have a soft spot for Larry Nichols.
And right.
If Hamamoto's gone, he's up there as my favorite crazy.
That's true.
Although it's going to be tough against Steve Pachenik. If it makes it to the next round, Steve Pachenik's manners lesson versus Larry Nichols. I don't know how that's going to break.
I mean, go home and tell your mother you're brilliant.
But that's not from that clip.
I know.
I thought you were going to ask me how I'm doing is that clip. Yeah. So I don't know. What about you? What are your picks?
Man, I'm actually, I'm partial to any impression that he does.
Right.
So that's automatically kind of, something that I like. I don't think it's going to make it.
So the Italian cursing?
Yeah. I don't think it's going to make it.
Oh,
but the only reason I'm partial to his impressions is because there's nothing I love more than making fun of his impressions and calling them something else. I don't know how I can't enjoy that.
So that's your pick?
Yeah. I kind of wish Little Goatman was in there now.
That was outside of the time frame.
Yeah, that was rough. I'm going to go with act liberal. Act liberal. I'm going to go with that as the ultimate winner.
I'm liberal.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, it's a really perfect encapsulation of what Alex is about.
Yeah.
So, those are the seeds, my friends. These that get to voting. Hope everyone is not too furious about some things that didn't make the cut.
Yes, yes. Much like the NCAA bracket, there is always going to be somebody you feel was snubbed.
Right.
There's always going to be somebody you feel who is more deserving. We respect that.
Mm-hmm.
Dan chose all of them, so send him your emails. knowledgefight@gmail.com.
It wasn't me, it was the selection committee.
Yep, sure.
If you enjoyed the show, you can check us out at knowledge KnowledgeFight.com.
That's true. You could follow us on Twitter at Knowledge_Fight.
Correct. Also on KnowledgeFight.com, I've built a page where people can download the drops of stuff if they want to like make songs like that. So if you want to make an electronic song or something like that, that is
now I've never been more interested.
That's KnowledgeFight.com/drops. And there's a bunch of drops already up there, and I'm putting more up as time goes on. But it's an exhausting process of like finding these clips in my archive.
Yeah, eventually all our merch will be is just a CD version or a downloadable version of all of the brilliant songs you guys create.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Also, we're on Facebook.
You are signing away your copyright, your copyrights whenever you upload it to our website. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we get your kids.
Yeah. We're an Apple kind of group. That's what we do.
You can find us on iTunes.
Yes, you can.
This has been a short one.
This has been a short one. It's been hard to get a flavor for who should take the honors.
Rick Derringer? I don't know. Why not?
Well, he listened to his wife. You got to give him credit for that.
Fine. Rick Derringer's wife?
There you go.
All right. Rick Derringer's wife, go fuck yourself.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.